Hello.
I'm Tavy.
I'm
nice
glad
to
to
meet
meet
you.
you.
And that's Nathan.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
How long have you lived in Hillsboro?
Actually, I lived in Hillsboro in the 60s, and then I went away to college, Oregon State, and then I came back in the early 70s. So I've been sort of living here since the early 70s.
And what do you believe is the biggest problem in Hillsboro?
With crime or just generally anything?
Mostly crime.
Mostly crime?
Yeah.
Well, I think probably the population has just exploded in the Hillsboro area, especially east of Hillsboro, where the downtown, you know, used to be the center of Hillsboro. I think the population and the growth has just brought, you know, a lot of people into a smaller area, and you're going to get, you know, a lot more crime because of that. You know.
What do you think the population is the problem
with? Well, I think that, you know, obviously a lot of people want to get out of the city, and so they've sort of looked to Hillsboro as sort of a bedroom community, or at least that's what it's referred to. It's out of the Portland. Live in Hillsboro and you might work in the Portland area, you know. So a lot of people have moved out here, a lot of industries have located, obviously Intel and, you know, a lot of other computer interest areas have, you know, transplanted out here, and then because of that, you know, people have looked for housing and built houses and stuff like that. So, you know, and then there's agricultural part of this region, which, you know, people need to work, you know, nursery work, growing different crops and things like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of work out this area, so people tended to move out here.
As a community member yourself, how and what do you see in law enforcement and if they've changed over the years?
Well, I think, you know, back in the day, we used to know the names of the police officers. You know, it was a lot smaller and a lot more personal. You knew the names of the police in Hillsboro, maybe some of the Washington County deputies and things like that on a first name basis. Now, you know, they're so big, the agencies are so big that you really don't know you're working there. But you know, it seems like the area has grown, and the police agencies, the crime fighters, or whatever you want to call them, have also grown, because I think we have a lot of, you know, Washington County deputies, we have a lot of City of Hillsboro police men, women, etc. So.
Do you feel safer now than you did 25 years ago?
Oh, good question. Yes and no. I think, you know, 25 years ago we were probably a lot more naive and, you know, a little bit, you know, we didn't have the population and especially the diversity with a lot of different people from different backgrounds coming into the area. And now, you know, that's changed. I mean, I think I still feel safe, but, you know, maybe I watch my step a little bit. I make sure if I get off the transit out in the middle of the fairgrounds that I kind of look around and, you know, just sort of not set myself up to be, you know, because it's, you know, can be kind of scary in different spots. And, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff about, you know, gang activity and this and that. But, you know, it's, I mean, you just have to be a lot more aware of where you're at, what, you know, what's going on. So, you know, I still feel pretty safe, but I think also I understand that, you know, there's some desperate people that live in this area that, you know, might do some desperate things. So, yeah.
What do you think that you're scared of the most?
Let's see, scared of the most. I don't know if I can pin it down. as far as a crime or something, right? Funniest thing happened the other day. This is kind of a little sidelight. I don't know if you want this, but I went to the post office, okay, and had a package to mail and was going to buy some stamps and stuff. And the guy that drove in next to me was about my age, a little older. I'm not quite 60. Anyway, he's probably 60 or so. He had this club, you know, that you put on the steering wheel. I've never had at the post office. I mean, is this guy paranoid or what? He takes 5 minutes, and I was in there filling out some paperwork or something in my car, you know, before I went in. And this guy takes 5 or 6 minutes to put this yellowish club on his steering wheel while he goes into the post office. I mean, I don't quite understand that. I would say that's pretty scared of your car getting stolen. I mean, if somebody wants my car, go ahead. I'm not going to stop them. And even if you have a club on there, people can saw through whatever the steering wheel and pull that out or whatever. But I thought that was kind of the epitome of paranoia as far as crime and being afraid of things. I don't know what I'm afraid of. I guess I would be afraid of maybe assault. Somebody assaulting me, wanting money or something like that. But you know, I'm not really fearful about anything in particular, I don't think. You know, but that'd probably be the thing. You know, somebody started beating me with a baseball bat,
yeah.
or a group jumped me or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not really fearful about it. But that might be one thing. Yeah.
Have you ever been involved? Like, connected to any crime or been a victim or seen anything?
I haven't seen a whole lot out there. I've, I've been involved in a car accident where somebody who wasn't licensed or insured, you know, was driving a car and hit us in Hillsboro. And, kind of we were lucky that my whole family was there and nobody was seriously hurt, but it was, you know, a pretty traumatic thing. I think somebody stole something out of our outdoor freezer, you know, it was on like a patio or something years ago, but nothing too directly like that. You hear about a few people losing things out of their garages, you know, but they've left them open for long periods of time. Somebody comes by on a bike, you know, grabs something and takes off, or somebody walks by, grabs a bike out of a garage and takes off. But I haven't had anything like that done to me either. So not too many personal experiences, unfortunately. Sorry, ladies.
Fortunate for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Do you have like a specific thing or a moment that made you really proud or disappointed in the law enforcement themselves?
Like in the city of Hillsboro?
Yeah.
Like something I was disappointed or proud of them?
Specific event or something?
Yeah. I think when we had our car accident, they were there within minutes. I think they responded, police, firemen, rescue, ambulance. They were there really quick. And I think I thought that was a pretty neat deal that they, you know, could respond that fast in an emergency and stuff. I don't think I've seen any situations where the police have been, you know, really inappropriate, you know, with responding to a situation. I think I've had policemen come into our house a few times and question us about something that might have happened in the neighborhood, something that we may have seen or haven't seen. You know, and they were real courteous and kind and, didn't, you know, seem to treat everybody with respect and stuff, so.
Can you give examples?
Of
what they have asked you or what you have seen?
Oh, I think, you know, a couple times the police have come and investigated, you know, like a burglary in the area or something, and they've just come in and asked us, you know, if you'd heard anything, seen anything unusual, you know, have you seen any cars or people that you normally don't see in your neighborhood and stuff like that would be, you know, some of the basic things that they asked us, and, you know, it took 5-10 minutes or something, but yeah, just specific things about a burglary that happened or something.
What do you think about drugs and alcohol uses today?
Well, you know, alcohol is socially acceptable, so, you know, we seem to, you know, it's probably one of the most abused drugs, alcohol, you know, that we have. But it's, you know, it's, that's sort of changed in that back in the day, 60s, 70s or so, you know, people drove when they were pretty well drunk, and it was a lot more acceptable than it is now. I mean, even though people still do it now, I think people are a lot more cautious and don't do it as often, you know, drink and drive. At least I've seen a big difference in that. You know, drugs, you know, I've got a lot of mixed feelings about, you know, like marijuana use. Should it be as, you know, criminalized as it is, or should it be, you know, sort of decriminalized? You know, is that really that big a problem? You know, I don't know. And then you hear about other stuff. The big thing now is the meth use. You know, we didn't hear about it 20, 25 years ago. Now, you know, it's almost like you see something every day. So that's a big change from, you know, 20, 25 years ago is meth and that whole deal. And, you know, it's amazing what people will put into their bodies just to feel better about things. It's, I mean, you know, cleansers and battery stuff, and I mean, it's wild what people mix up and put into their bodies. You know, it's kind of like a battle that's always going to be fought, you know, substance abuse. You know, people will abuse, you know, pretty much anything, but the hard thing is, you know, how much of a criminal deal do you put on it, or is it some kind of a health or a disease type of situation? You know, are there more drugs in the Hillsborough area than 20, 25 years ago? Yeah, probably, because there's a lot more people. And, you know, people are going to unfortunately use substances. You know, especially if they're not, you know, happy about themselves, their situation, their job, their family, their, you know, all those things. Can't pay the bills. You know, tough deal. I don't know if I answered your question or not, but it kind of went on.
Okay.
All
right.
I've been told that you've been working with children for a while now.
Yeah, actually in the 70s, I started at the Washington County Juvenile Department. I worked in the jail, believe it or not. We actually held juveniles, people who were between the ages of 13, 14, and 17 in jail downtown on the third floor of the courthouse. And so I worked in the jail for about 3 or 4 years, and then we moved to a shelter facility, which was not a lockup situation, about a block away. And I kind of started an educational program for juveniles who had to stay somewhere besides their home to be evaluated to see what we needed to do with them. And so I worked for about 10 years with the juvenile department as a counselor, teacher, and then I went back to school and got a teaching certificate in special ed. And so then I kind of got involved with public schools, and I worked in an alternative high school in Hillsborough for about 10 years also. So I've kind of done a lot of different things, but all kind of related to, you know, juveniles and children.
With all these children that you've been working with, mm-hmm. and the troubled kids, what do you see as the problems they most face with the most?
Common denominator?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the family. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the family is so important, and, you know, a lot of people just have kids because it's the thing to do, it's because it's what's expected, but, you know, you don't have to get a license, you don't have to show that you are competent in being a parent, you just get to have kids, and then they expect you to raise them. And, you know, most of the kids that I've dealt with that have had difficulties, not all of them, you know, have kind of a pretty tough family situation, and, you know, parenting is not an easy job, and none of us have much training in it, and we're just expected to know what to do. And, you know, it's a hard thing to do, but it's a very rewarding thing to do, is to be a parent. Also, I have a grandson now, so he's cool. Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Like, when you're dealing with these children and mm-hmm. trying to help them out, mm-hmm. and when they tell you their situations, how mm-hmm. do you feel?
Well, you feel pretty sad and depressed a lot about it, but, you know, it's like, you know, I didn't choose my parents, you didn't choose your parents, you didn't choose your parents, and so, you know, you don't get that choice, so it's really a hard deal, because, you know, parents should somehow have more training or some idea of what they're doing, you know. With kids. I mean, it's a real sad situation, but you have to deal with the students, you know, with the situation at hand, and, you know, those are the only parents they may have, and they may have two, they may have one, they may not have, you know, a biological parent, but, you know, they've got to come to terms with that. And a lot of times, obviously, life isn't fair. And it's not fair that I have two parents and you have one or you have none, and, you know, but, you know, how angry can you get, you know, for your whole life over that and stuff. So, you know, it's a real sad situation, because a lot of the students I've dealt with don't have, you know, it's not really their fault, but, you know, now they have to deal with it. So, yeah.
But what kind of things have they actually done, like, physically?
Huh?
Yeah, what kind of things have they done?
That kids have done?
Yeah.
Oh, as far as criminal stuff?
Yes.
Oh, I mean everything. You know, we used to lock kids away for being runaways, for breaking curfew, for strange stuff like that. Well, you know, unfortunately, kids, you know, commit some of the most, you know, horrific and vicious crimes that adults do, you know, and it's, you know, I've had, you know, murderers and burglars and, you know, all kinds of you know, different crimes that kids have committed. You know, when they were locked up in juvenile detention and when they were in shelter care. One of the big things, though, about crime was, I don't know if you've heard of Measure 11, which happened, what, now 10 or 15 years ago, maybe, that you can go to jail, prison, for is it 84 months or 7 years or for crimes against people. You know, it's automatic too, and a lot of juveniles don't understand that, that if they go and assault somebody and it's serious, they can end up in jail or prison for, you know, up to 7 years. Measure 11 was passed by the voters because they were, you know, sick and tired of reading and hearing and experiencing all these crimes that juveniles did but got away with it or got a slap on the wrist because they were under 18. So now when you're 13 or 14 and you commit a serious crime, you can actually be locked up for, you know, like up to 84 months, which I think works out to about 7 years or something in that vicinity. But the voters actually passed Measure 11, you know, it was 10 years ago or 15 now. Time kind of flies sometimes when you're having fun. But you got to look into Measure 11 a little bit. And a lot of times people want them to repeal Measure 11 because they say it's too harsh, too strict, and juveniles shouldn't be, you know, locked up for 7 years. But some of the crimes that they do, you know, I don't know if you've just noticed in the papers, but, you know, the shooting, the drive-by they had over in the Glencoe area a few months ago or a month ago or so, they've already convicted one kid and he's going to be in jail for a while, and the other trials are coming. And, you know, they, somebody burglarized a house, got a gun or two, and, you know, they did a drive-by over, you know, in North Hillsborough, and, you know, three or four of them are going to go to jail for, you know, maybe 7 years, because that's a pretty serious thing, obviously, firing bullets into a house. But, yeah, I mean, juveniles, you know, they can commit, you know, the same type of crime as adults. And, you know, I've probably, you know, worked with kids who've, you know, been charged with some pretty serious stuff, you know, murder, rape, assault, burglary, on and on. Yeah.
How do you feel about Measure 11?
Well, yeah, that's a tough one. I think it's actually needed because I worked in the juvenile system for 10 years and it just seemed like, you know, kids got way too many chances. And, you know, if they were 15 or 16 or 14, that, you know, they may have held them till they were 18 at McLaren or Hillcrest, which are the school, like, reformatories or, you know, kind of the max you can get. And then that was it. But it seems like, you know, if you're 15 or 16 or 17, maybe 14, you know, what you shouldn't be doing. You know, you shouldn't be trying to kill somebody. You shouldn't be assaulting people, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's pretty strict, but, you know, I don't know if it's really, you'd have to look at the statistics to see if it's, you know, if crimes per capita, according to the population, have reduced or not. I haven't really looked at the statistics, but, you know, I'm sure you guys in research look at, or try to look at statistics and crimes and see if things have increased and stuff like that. So, I think I'm sort of in favor of Measure 11. I'm kind of a strange one. I'm kind of in favor of the death penalty, which a lot of people aren't, but, you know, if it's, you know, proven beyond a reasonable doubt, I don't know. You know, they always talk about the one person that they execute that's innocent. You know, that's a tough one. That's a good reason to be not in favor of the death penalty, too. But, you know, okay.
How would you compare the different kinds of crimes that young people are involved in over time?
Over time. Young people are involved.
I think what she means is like
from the 25 years ago.
Yeah, like so what times were they in then, what times do they commit now, is it shifted?
Yeah, I think it, you know, I think it's a little bit more serious, but, you know, that's what old people always say. You know, things were always better when we were growing up and all that baloney.
Yeah.
You know, you always hear that. But, you know, when you read about four or five high school kids at Glencoe who, you know, are just sort of, I don't know how normal they were, but all of a sudden, you know, they get upset and they steal some guns and they do a drive-by. You know, you kind of wonder if, you know, where things are headed. You know, it's an isolated incident, but still, you know, 20, 25 years ago, there were probably, you know, maybe there was a, you know, one person did something, but now we're talking about four or five people doing a drive-by or whatever. You know, it seems like things are a little more serious than they used to be. You know, I think guns are unfortunately a lot more acceptable. They're a lot more, how should I say, easier maybe to obtain. People are quicker to maybe go get a gun than they used to be. I don't know, maybe that's not true. Because, you know, I have sort of a different perspective on this. But, I don't know, it just seems like, you know, this area, you know, does have a diverse, a lot more diverse population than it used to. And, you know, some of the problems that Hillsborough's dealing with now are probably a result of people relocating here that have lived elsewhere. You know, maybe a family has lived in L.A., you know, where it was, you know, a deal where they wanted to get out of L.A. because of what was happening around them. And, you know, whether it's Watts or Compton or somewhere else. And, you know, now they come into Hillsborough and, you know, they just bring different, you know, different things with them. You know, the world is a lot more mobile. People move in and out. It's just a lot different than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, people sort of stuck, you know, in the place they were born a little bit. You know, people move around a lot more. So it creates a few more problems, people bumping into other people.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that has affected you in any way?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think you have to be sort of careful. A lot more careful in the world, and it's kind of a shame too, because you know, if you're friendly to somebody and then you know they get the wrong idea or they take advantage of that, or you know, I don't know, it's just a little bit different world. Not that I want the old days back, but you know, that's the way the world is. I think it's you have to be a little bit more cautious, and that may be hard for you guys to understand. I don't know, because you haven't had that history, and you know the world is what you see it. You know, in the last, I don't know how old you are, 16, 17, 18, but you know, and maybe you don't feel that way, but you know, because you haven't experienced anything else, so it's kind of hard. But yeah, it's a little different. I'm not going to say, you know, oh, the good old, you know, where are the good old days and stuff like that, because that's kind of, that doesn't work, you know, real well. So times change a little bit. Yeah, so you just have to be a little bit more cautious, I think, at least from my point of view. Maybe not yours. Okay, so. Yeah.
How often do you see friends around you now?
That's the thing. I still, you know, I still don't see a lot of crime. You know, I don't see, oh, once in a while you think maybe somebody's shoplifting, but are they really? Or, you know, maybe they're shoplifting, I don't know. Once in a while, you know, maybe the neighbor or somebody down the street might lose something or get something ripped off. But as far as actually seeing things, I mean, I still don't see a lot of crime. I mean, maybe I got my head buried in the sand or something, but, you know, I don't see a lot or hardly any, you know, actual crimes being taken place. So that's a good news, you know. You hear about it, you know, you hear about somebody who was accosted on the Max or, you know, or hassled or somebody lost something or, you know, some other crime. But, you know, that's the thing. When I was growing up, I didn't see a whole lot of crime, and I don't witness hardly witness any crime. I've never had to go to trial and be a witness, you know, or anything like that. So, you know, maybe that's good. Maybe I got my head. Maybe I'll look out my window once in a while. Out in the world. Yeah. Right.
Oh, okay, here's a good one. Do you think there's a specific ethnic group that is involved in more crimes in Hillsborough?
That's a hard one because, you know, a lot of people, if they're looking through the paper, they might say, you know, oh, you know, boy, it looks like the Hispanic population is just, you know, doing all the crimes in Hillsborough and nobody else is, you know, or some other, you know, ethnic group or race or group. But, you know, I don't know. It's all sort of relative. You know, I don't know that for sure. And, you know, maybe you guys look at those statistics and, you know, and go from there. But, you know, you certainly read, you know, the media is supposed to report things fairly and, you know, non-biased and all that stuff. There's just a lot more people here, whether they're white or Asian or Hispanic or black or whatever. There's just a lot more people here. So, you know, it sort of makes sense that, you know, different ethnic groups are going to have, you know, criminals or people committing crimes from those different cultures. And, you know, some people would blame it on a particular ethnic group and say that's the cause of all our crime and problems. That's not true. I mean, you know, and I don't have the facts or statistics to say that, you know, boy, this group is really, you know, raising the crime rate a huge amount and stuff. So.
You're okay. Okay. And you already told me this, but what is your relationship to crime and law enforcement in Hillsborough?
Okay. Well, I've lived here, so I guess I'm a community member. And then, you know, I did work with the juvenile department for 10 years. And then I've been in education for another 20-some years. So I've, you know, dealt with young people pretty much my whole career, whether juvenile department or you know, school district and schools, high schools and stuff. And I've coached also, so coached baseball for a lot of years.
Back to the Measure 11 deal. Do you think that it's stopping kids from doing anything or lessening the population in alternative schools or anything?
Yeah. Well, I wish more young people knew about Measure 11, and I don't think they do. So I don't think it's a huge deterrent to crime unless they start to get into trouble. And then they become involved with the juvenile department. Then I think sometimes the juvenile department counselor will talk to them about Measure 11. And if they get convicted of, you know, a serious crime, even though they're under 18, they could be put away for 7 years. So I think it could be more of a deterrent. I think more young people should know about Measure 11. And maybe they wouldn't do, you know, some of the things that they do, but that's hard to say. Yeah.
So nowadays, how does the school district deal with these children?
Well, I don't know. The you know, the school district, if somebody, the school district is supposed to provide an education to students who get in trouble with the law, you know, if they can't attend school. So actually the Hillsborough School District has a part-time teacher at Harkins House. I don't know if you've ever heard of Harkins House. It's the juvenile shelter care facility. It's down on West Main. And kids who are in trouble with the law in the courts have to go there and be evaluated to see what happens and where they go. The Hillsborough School District also provides a teacher at the jail, the Washington County Jail. So, you know, there are some attempts to, you know, provide an education for kids who do get in trouble. I don't know if there's enough that we do as a school district, but, you know, there are some things that we do for kids who are in trouble. Home instruction, you know, is another thing that we provide. So.
What else do you think we should do?
Oh boy, that's a good question. Well, it's a hard question because sometimes when somebody gets in trouble with the law, you know, then the state tends to take over. And if the state takes over, then they're expected to sort of provide, you know, education service. But you know, I think right now the school district is probably doing about as much as they're required to do. And I don't know, you know, if there's really anything more. The hard part is that when kids do get locked up, you know, most of them don't have a diploma or a GED. And, you know, so, you know, there are efforts to help kids get GEDs, get diplomas now when they are in jail. You know, I know the teacher at the jail, and she, you know, she's a good worker. I think she's just a part-time person too. So, you know, maybe we should have a couple more full-time people who deal with kids who have committed crimes and are, you know, locked up or have to stay home on house arrest or whatever.
So, most of these crimes that you hear about,
mm-hmm.
are they usually victimless crimes, or do they involve other people?
Yeah. Well, that's the big difference now, you know. If it's a victimless crime, usually the punishment is a lot, you know, lesser and not as severe. You know, I would hope that, you know, kids or young people are still committing a lot more victimless crimes, shoplifting, you know, things like that, than crimes against other people, because that's the serious stuff, and that's the Measure 11 stuff, is, you know, crimes against other people. You know, the problem is that, you know, the culture up above kind of comes down and tells us how to dress and how to behave and how to act and how to treat people and things like that. And, you know, some people's answers are, you just, you know, you shoot somebody or you, you know, you assault them or whatever. So sometimes the, you know, what people believe in, you know, their idols or, you know, stuff, sometimes they'll, you know, kind of copycat some of their same behaviors, and that doesn't go over real well. So I would hope that most of the crimes are still victimless, but, you know, there are juveniles who commit crimes against people and persons, and those are obviously a lot more serious.
So do you think the media has anything to do with it?
Yeah. The media gets blamed for a lot of things. And, you know, they're always looking for a story. And the stories that catch our attention are the you know, kind of the sensational ones, and people remember those, and they put them in the newspapers, and, you know, if two gangsters, 50 Cent, and what was the other guy, didn't their two groups shoot at one another in a building in New York or something, and then a week later they shook hands and made up or something. People kind of idolize some of those people, and they'll do some of the same dumb things that some of their so-called heroes or idols do, and the media is there to report it and put it in the paper or, you know, on the news or on the internet, and sometimes people repeat that behavior, unfortunately.
Sometimes do you think it's also like because it's so over exaggerated that...
Well, I think it's an easy excuse too, to blame the media. You know, you can blame the media for, you know, hopefully there's never another school shooting like there has been, like in Colorado and some of those places, but some people will blame the media because they still talk about, you know, Columbine High School. You know, if there's an anniversary or something coming up, you know, I don't know how long ago it was now, 5 or 10 years, 5 or 7, 8 years. But some people blame the media just because they mention that, and you can't do that forever. You know, the media does sensationalize some stuff, and they kind of keep things going, but the media isn't responsible for, you know, another school shooting that comes along just because they mentioned Columbine or the one that was in Springfield, Oregon at the high school years ago. I can't think of the guy's name. The media, you know, they get blamed for a lot of things. They do sensationalize things. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword there a little bit.
Can you describe Hillsborough in the 1980s with respect to the crime and compare it to how it is now?
Yeah. Well, in the early 1980s, we had Hillsborough High School and Glencoe was just opening. We had no other high schools. So, you know, we had, you know, just the beginning of two high schools, and the best that I can describe it is that, you know, we didn't have anywhere near the people that we do now. And I look up at the population signs and I see almost 80,000 people in Hillsborough. And when I lived here, there might have been 10, you know, in the 60s and then into the early 70s, you know, 10, 12, 15,000. And now we're at 80,000 people, and I go, where did all these people come from, you know, and why are they in this area? But just looking at that fact, I mean, you're going to have more crimes, and I think a few more serious crimes, although again, the statistics may say crimes are basically the same. You know, the new crimes are obviously some of the technology. You know, now we have a lot more fraud, you know, computer, stuff like that going on. It seems like people are taking advantage of, you know, we have different crimes because of new technology that we didn't have. You know, what was a computer 20, 25 years ago? It was like some big, huge thing that took up half a room, you know. Now it's a little PC thing that, you know, now we have computer crimes that involve fraud, you know, ID theft, you know, getting credit card numbers, just all kinds of people scamming to get your information. I mean, it's amazing, you know. I get stuff on my computer. You know, I'm on eBay, which is an auction site, but there's people that make it look like their eBay and they want to get all your credit card information. We've lost it, or we need to update our files. So they're trying to steal my information by using, you know, some company. So one of the biggest things, I think, is, you know, all the new technology. You know, it's like downloading music. We didn't even know what that was 20, 25 years ago. And now, you know, I don't know much about it, but there was this whole thing with Napster and all this stuff, and people getting charged with, you know, downloading all this music free, and they were getting, you know, fined and taken to, I don't know if they got took to jail, but there's all kinds of technology that didn't exist 20, 25 years ago, because our world kind of, you know, was rapidly, you know, moving into, you know, different stuff. But, you know, it's what you grew up with, so it doesn't seem weird at all, you know, but none of those crimes existed, you know, none of this stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's, that's a big difference.
Back to drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
Do you think it's easier for children to access it now and abuse it?
Yeah, it seems like it. It just seems like it's a lot more available than it used to be. It seemed like it was a little harder maybe to get back in the day. You know, now it seems like, you know, it's kind of weird. Kids get high with their parents maybe. You know, because it's so readily available. You know, I've ran across situations where that's happened, you know, working with certain families and kids in school and stuff like that, you know, which is, wow, you know, a whole different world. But, you know, I would say because of my age that I think it's a lot more available than it used to. It seems like it's a little bit more acceptable in some areas to try things or to do this or to do that. You know, way back in the day it was sort of, you know, okay to drink, but, you know, you couldn't try pot, for instance. You know, sort of drinking was okay, but pot was sort of a no-no, and, you know, anything above that was really, you know, way out there. Now it seems like it's a little bit more acceptable, you know, to do that, to drink, to try marijuana, to, you know, to try this, etc. But I, you know, I'd probably have to say, I think things are a lot more accessible than they used to be. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to tell me?
Well, boy, crime in Hillsborough—that's a huge topic. You don't want to live in an area that has a lot of crime. You know, it's just not good for anybody's health. You know, much less property values and all that kinds of stuff, because, you know, people will move out of those areas really fast. So, you know, it's pretty important to have, you know, pretty good law enforcement, you know, but are they just going out and shooting people? You know, Portland, unfortunately, has a real bad reputation. They've had so many police shootings in Portland in the last few years that it's like, you know, those guys are, oof, you know, they'll shoot and ask questions later. And, and we don't have that reputation in Hillsborough, and that's, you know, probably good. Because people wouldn't want to, you know, live around here if you have law enforcement that, you know, shoots first and asks questions later. So, but I think you need a strong law enforcement. You need to stay on top of, you know, what's going on, whether it's gang activity or burglary or car theft or whatever. So I think you know, that's a real plus for this area. I think we have pretty good law enforcement, and you know, I think that is a deterrent to crime. You know, not 100%, obviously, but yeah, I think that's kind of how I'd finish up. You know, Yeah, pretty happy living in Hillsborough.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.